I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Amazing FBA Podcast. This is your host, Michael Veazey, and welcome back to the show. Sorry, there's been a bit of a gap. I've been off with some kind of lurgy. I have no idea whether it was COVID-19 or the Carbon or Garden Rhinovirus. Either way, it's put me down, but I'm back up. So I'm bringing you today somebody very important, talking about traffic, which as Amazon FBA and Amazon generally gets a trickier place to be on its own. I believe that looking wider than we normally do is an essential thing for all Amazon sellers. And Rory is one of those people who's going to help us do that. Rory has been a best kept secret working behind the scenes to help grow, scale and build many successful online companies for about 14 years. Today, he manages a small boutique media buying team that specializes in multi-channel traffic. And he's best known for creating ads that convert and being able to get a lot of policy challenged offers approved and running on Facebook. Not an easy thing to do these days. So that's Rory Stone of RFS Digital Media is with us today. Rory, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's a real pleasure.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's kind of weird and yet business as usual to be working from home. And I have to say, as a podcast, I'm like, well, yeah, that's it. I'm every day of my life. So yeah. it's a funny thing, isn't it? For those of us who are primarily digital focused, it's kind of less of a transition than others. But nevertheless, we are in strange times. So tell us a little bit more. I've gave us a quick version of who you are and what you do, but just tell us a little bit more what things you cover, because I know Facebook is only the tip of the iceberg for you guys.
Sure. So, I mean, really, you know, that's kind of our core focus is growing a business with paid traffic. So we lead with that. That's also a very common thing to see these days is so many people have a Facebook agency. And I like to tell people we've been doing it longer and far better than most people who attended a webinar last month. I think I even jokingly said that to you the other day. I've been a full-time digital marketer for 14 years. I was really a sophisticated jack of all trades, being plugged in to do various roles and things behind the scenes to help companies. And I just developed a pretty generalized knowledge of marketing, digital marketing. And to me, you know, traffic 10 years ago was sort of this black box. Only a small handful of people really mastered it and knew how to do it. And it was also very enticing to me knowing that it can be and often is one of the most important things you can do for your business is control the flow of customers. And I use control loosely, right? Because there's only so much you can control. But when you are in control as much as you can be of traffic, you're able to predictably scale your business. Whereas if you're relying on organic media, if you're relying on referral partners, there are always challenges. And there are inherent challenges with paid media, right? I mean, things always come up. So that's a little bit more on who we are. One thing I'll just add briefly is, my background is actually in clinical psychology. I have a doctorate that I got in 2006 and went a different direction, you might say.
Oh, that certainly is different. Although I do think that for marketing, that psychological insight is really, really important. So that's quite interesting. The only other person I can think of like that is Rick Cesare. He's been a master of video marketing for several decades, and he's got a biology degree. So interesting. Maybe the analytical side helps with digital marketing. I don't think it does any harm. So let's talk today. I know the sort of businesses that you deal with. Let's deal with that finally. Just to briefly mention, you deal with Facebook, I believe also Instagram and Google. Oh, yeah. As your main sort of platforms, is that right?
Anytime we mention Facebook, that generally includes Instagram. But it's worth mentioning when you know the Google platforms we run on, Google Search, Google Display Network, which is their banner ads, YouTube, and possibly important for e-commerce businesses, Google Shopping is another network we're very, very in tune with.
Weirdly enough, I don't hear much about Google Shopping, even though you would have thought it's got to be profoundly important. So that's very interesting. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of these different traffic sources. I know that you work with a variety of types of businesses, which is one thing that brings me really to have you on and to talk today to you. That includes e-commerce, the sort of traditional hard goods, but also info product sellers. Now, traditionally, those are separate worlds, but I want to call this, I suppose, my provisional title for this is the pivot episode, because I want to try and address the needs of people who are out there having run a traditional e-commerce business, very possibly if they're listening to Amazing FBA through the Amazon channel and quite possibly FBA itself, which has suddenly become incredibly challenging. So you have a variety of clients. So can you talk for the moment, just fill us on the sort of status quo. It's the 25th of March, 2020, as we're recording this. Hopefully we'll get this out in the next couple of days as well. So what's the sort of status quo with your clients at the moment? How many of them are experiencing challenges? How many of them are experiencing an uplift? What's going on with them?
Sure. So great question. Very important topic. Timely, of course, too, with everything that's going on in the world. And I also want to draw attention to anybody that happens to watch this in the future, or also to reframe it for our listeners right now, is that what you're experiencing, yes, it's driven by a very unique challenge in our world, is this is the same type of challenges any business is going to face when things dramatically change. So let's talk about possibly a recession. Things change. Consumers buy, you know, consumer buying habit changes. And that's really, really important to know. This isn't just unique to COVID-19. So how are our businesses right now, our clients? The reason I mentioned, you know, challenges that arise is that our agency and my philosophy is always about working with and stabilizing businesses, building businesses off of a strong foundation. So the results we're seeing with our clients are somewhat different than what we hear from fellow agency owners and advertisers in, you know, different companies. We'll get to all of that. Fortunately, right now, the majority of our clients are seeing what I call normal volatility. So the normal ups and downs that we would expect to see day-to-day running businesses with paid traffic. Knock on wood, right? I don't know that that's going to continue to be the trend. You know, here in the U.S., you know, the Western world, if you will, we're just breaking into things that are getting really, really bad. We're not there yet on what the East has seen. So I don't know how things are going to continue to weather. But again, it's important to know for context, we work with businesses to make sure they are a three-legged stool, to make sure they have strong foundations. We did lose our first client last night. They are in Australia. They predominantly do live events. In fact, you know, 95% of their business is from live events, 50 to 150 people in a room. So it makes sense that they would no longer be able to serve their customers and clients. And I had the conversation with them last night. We need to focus on getting you online. Excuse me. What he offers physically is something he can do virtually and digitally. So again, it's about pivoting. We do have several clients who are thriving. And I'm talking going from 2x ROAS to 6x ROAS. This is the exception, not the rule. They happen to be in the right business, in the right industry at the right time, where their products are needed more so than ever. To balance that out, Michael, just because you asked, you know, we have seen other agencies lose a third of business in a week's time because people, you know, consumer behavior has changed.
So it's quite a variety of things going on then, by the sound of it, across the different agencies. Tell me about the businesses that sell physical products. I mean, it's interesting that you got a product, a client that sells live events, obviously bound to be completely shut down by this thing for the time period. But also that implies there's something there that you could communicate digitally. Now, tell me about your clients that have physical goods, or do you have any clients in that neck of the woods? How's it work?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of them, the one that I just mentioned that's doing 6x right now, which again, I want to make clear to everybody that is an exception. Part of why I'm here, part of what I'm talking about in terms of, you know, being able to build a strong foundation is we're not, you know, 6x ROAS is not normal. these gurus talking about 6x ROAS, 20 ROAS. Like, no, that's not normal. What's normal is 2, 2.5. So these
ROAS, by the way, is return on ad spend, as I understand, right? Okay, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Yes, return on ad spend.
So can you just briefly explain that for those of us who aren't very, you know, normally into paid ads?
Yeah, sorry, I'm taking a lot for granted, right?
No worries, man. No, it's all right. I've just got a rule around abbreviations.
Yeah. It's important. So I'm bringing assumptions to the table, which I want to air and also get out because it's my understanding of the e-commerce business. A lot of people, and not so much Amazon, I will focus on that in a minute. But so ROAS is return on ad spend, meaning that if you put a dollar in, a one ROAS would be means you've got a dollar back. $2 ROAS or 2x ROAS would mean you put a dollar in, you get $2 out. And there are a lot of businesses in paid traffic in e-commerce that live and die by their ability to put a dollar in and get profit back every day. Amazon business is obviously a little bit different, right? Because your traffic is typically coming from within the Amazon ecosystem. So when you have good rankings and you're in the buy box and you show up for keywords organically when people search, you don't really have a ROAS. You have a lot of quote unquote pure profit after Amazon takes their share of the pie.
That does make sense. It's a different sort of situation. So have you got clients? So you've got clients, it sounds like, you know, the ones that are really challenged with physical events, makes sense. You got other people that are sort of shutting up shop, but what would you say the characteristics of the physical based businesses that are still weathering the storm okay at this point?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for bringing us back to that. So physical goods, of course, are going to face challenges right now in terms of the supply chain. Where are you getting your products? If they're coming from China, you were just shut down for quite some time with being able to get new product. And, you know, certain people I think could continue to sell. Some people may have panicked. Obviously, we're hearing now Amazon is, I think, completely shut off all incoming FBA shipments so that they can focus on internal offers, as well as making sure that the distribution of necessary essential products get shipped. And, you know, talk about timely, Michael. You know, we just heard this morning here in the U.S. that I forget how many factories or distribution centers in the U.S. alone, 6, 9 of them, I forget, have positive cases of employees with COVID-19. And when you think about the impact that Amazon has or the market share that Amazon has on distribution, what does that mean for the coming days and weeks for distribution? So it's certainly being affected. And there are certain things that we have to look at. What can you do? Is there anything you can do? How do you pivot, to talk about the pivot episode? So definitely challenges. Let's back up a minute and talk about one of our clients, which I mentioned, you know, that 6X ROAS. They are a physical good company. They are based out of, we'll call it the Western United States. They are selling a product that is in high demand right now. They are shut down in terms of only essential employees can report. So I don't necessarily know right now directly how does that affect their ability to ship and distribute. We're not involved in that level with them. We have just been told, you know, please continue to spend money. Please continue to scale. Make sure you maintain a specific ROAS. And their products are flying off the shelves left and right as far as consumers buying.
It seems to be like there's a couple of people in the masterminds that I run that they happen to be selling products that are in demand, obviously medically related and some pet related things as well, seem to be seen by the general American public and Amazon at the moment anyway as essential, which is interesting. So those seem to be doing well. So let's assume then that a lot of people have the need to make a quick pivot, because in most cases, most people are selling things that aren't seen as essential, that aren't necessarily being fulfilled for Amazon, or they might have a delivery date of a month's time or something crazy. What then, a bit like the conversation you were trying to have with your client, but slightly different, if your client has physical events all over Australia, how do you turn that into a more digital type situation? So my question, I guess, with hard goods might be a little bit tricky, but how do we pivot from a situation where we're trying to sell hard goods, which have got great supply side challenges, even though there might be some demand left, into something that is not vulnerable to supply chains?
Sure. So I think, you know, there's multiple steps to this. And I want to try and explore all of them sequentially, starting with an Amazon business. So let me lay the foundation. Pivoting is important, especially when you have supply chain interruptions or challenges in your business regardless. And what we talk about with our client is he already has an email list. He already has recordings from his events. So it's fairly easy, you know, air quotes, fairly easy for him to take those recordings, make them available online, put together a webinar. One of the challenges with an Amazon business, and I love Amazon, by the way, I want to be very clear. I mean, I'm obviously here, I'm supporting you. We're having an important conversation. I think Amazon FBA is an incredible business opportunity for so many people, has changed lives. One of the inherent challenges, however, that everybody probably knows listening to this is when you're an Amazon business, you really don't own your customers. They're Amazon's customers. So the first step I would be taking in sort of pivoting, and another probably better word for this is diversification, is you want to figure out, okay, I rely on Amazon for my business. That's great. But what happens when I can't rely on Amazon? Again, whether it's COVID-19, whether it's a recession, whether it's Amazon kicking you out of the buy box, whether it's Amazon coming out with their own label of your particular product. And now guess what? They're recommending their own product. We've seen it time and time again. So the first thing you need to figure out is, how do I diversify? How do I get control of some of these customers? You know, being in the Amazon business myself at one point, years ago, mind you, you could only email the customer to request a review. It was very hard to get them on an email list. You were limited with what you could include as a ride along with the delivery of your product. So you want to be thinking, number one, how can I develop my own customer list? So in the digital world, we think about list building. You want to find an email an email platform like AWeber, MailChimp, ActiveCampaign. And I'm just recommending sources we've used. I'm not saying go get these yourself. Do your due diligence. Michael may have his own preferred resources, but you want to find an email platform and you want to start building your list. How do you do that? Well, one thing to do with physical goods, you could run a contest. Hey, we're giving away one of these products. Hey, we're giving away a basket of our goods. Enter your name and email address to get one of these. Now, you might be scratching your head saying, well, that's great. How does this make me profitable right now? To a certain degree, it doesn't right now. This is the beginning stage. This is what we call a test. And this is why I say this isn't just about COVID-19. This is about shoring up, firming up your business, building a foundation that you can utilize now and in the future.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, the thing about COVID-19, it's just a massive shock to the system that exposes, as I think Warren Buffett puts it, you know, when the water recedes, you see who's wearing shorts and who's naked. And I think that actually it just exposes the sort of business practice that we should be doing anyway. So, talk me through that then. If I'm sitting there and, you know, I've discovered that the water's gone down and I'm naked in Warren Buffett's colorful phrase, and I'm standing there and my business is entirely dependent on Amazon FBA. Is it really the time to start building a customer list?
Tough question, right? So, and I'm glad you asked it, because I realize one of the first things that's probably more important to hear right now is don't panic. I know it probably makes sense to start looking at things going, oh my gosh, I'm losing my business. Things are out of control. What can I do? It's very hard to make the right level-headed decisions for your business when you're panicking. And I'm not saying this because I read it in a book. I'm saying this because I've been through it myself. I've been through it with clients. So you have to find a way, as the leader of your business, whether it's yourself, whether it's through podcasts, listening to people like Michael, whether it's working with a coach, you've got to make sure that your mind is in the right place to make the right decisions for now that will affect the future. So I can't answer, is now the time to do that? If you're bleeding cash and you don't have a marketing budget, it may or may not be the right thing to do. It really may not be. But again, we have to look at this and go, what are you going to do? What can you do right now to sort of recession-proof your business, to put yourself in a better position moving forward?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, my instinct about this, I mean, on the one hand is preserve cash. So maybe paid advertising would feel a bit rich to me. But on the other hand, connect. I think connection is always important. But I think at a time of crisis that your clients are really going to appreciate some kind of connection done in the right way, shall we say. I mean, there's some, it's very funny, like on my Facebook feed, like everyone else overusing Facebook in this time, there are some adverts that pop up that just really jar, and they're clearly out of the spirit of the time. So it was set up 6, 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks, whatever. And there are other things that feel like they speak into where I'm at now. And I suppose the first thing I say is whatever messaging you put out there has got to tie in. For example, just a little thing, I saw my VA had sent a message out going, hi, I hope your business is humming along. This week we've dropped an episode on X, Y, and Z. And I just thought, well, I really must change that, because whose business is humming along? I mean, a few might be, but it just feels like the wrong vibe. So I guess what I'm saying is connecting with people still feels like the right move to me, because you can show a kind of leadership in your space, right?
Absolutely. So if we get sort of off topic of FBA and talk about what you just said, now is the time more than ever that people, consumers, are looking for answers. They're looking for leadership. They're looking for strength and confidence. They're looking for information. You know, I would imagine if we compare this to the UK, here in the US, we've lost all professional sports. I believe that football in Europe has pretty much come to a standstill. So what I see as a consumer of entertainment, these things are gone in my life, but I'm different in that, okay, I can pivot. I can find other things to do with my time. I can reinvest in my business. I can read a book. I can spend time with my family. It's okay. The average consumer of what I'm seeing is, they're sad, they're depressed, they're lonely, they're struggling for connection. They're lost without, you know, Manchester United playing football right now. You know, our professional hockey team not being able to play. There are people in these Facebook groups desperately calling for, oh my God, we need hockey back. And what does that mean? People have more time on their hands. People have more attention. Give them quality content. So right now is not the time to necessarily peel back. It is the time to put out quality content. So if we wrap this back now, Michael, to is now the time to run paid ads? Absolutely. Now is the time to run paid ads. Now is the time to give content. And as you said, enter the conversation in their head. No, it's not, hey, I hope your business is humming along. It's, hey, I hope you're doing well, all things considered. So let's get real and practical for the audience right now. Because when you say, hey, you know, is now the time to run ads? Should we be conserving cash? You can spend $5 a day. $5 a day over a month is $150. I hope the majority of your businesses that are listening to us right now have $150 a day, or not, I'm sorry, not a day, $150 a month to spend. What does that get you? Does it get you riches? No, but it starts establishing you in the marketplace. It gets you to build your email. Let's talk concretely. When we run contests, we're generating qualified leads for our business between 25 to 75 cents a lead. That's a good start.
That sounds really very good. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty cheap lead in my opinion, if it's quality.
Yeah. And now there are I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that this is going to be easy. I'm not going to say that all of these leads will eventually buy from you, but I want people to know that you've got to put your toe in the water. You've got to test the market and figure out, can I make this work? Because jumping a few steps ahead, Michael, one of the things that you brought up in terms of pivoting and diversifying and what can you offer people, we talked about this yesterday, is with your email list, can you sell them other things in your niche related to your product that other people have created? So the potentials of affiliate marketing are things to consider right now. Right now is the time to figure out what can we do? What options do we have? And it is and can be a tough thing to balance when it feels like the sky is falling.
As you say that, I mean, the sky is falling in terms of a lot of products and a lot of physical products. But even if you're looking at the FTSE or the S&P 500 or other stock markets as a proxy for the markets, you know, cold hard take on the economics of certain businesses. Zoom, for example, and Slack, unsurprisingly, have shot up over the last 3-4 weeks because Zoom is making a bonanza from the fact that everyone is having to work virtually. So there are massive growth curves going on all the time. And in fact, I would say that the demand side for e-commerce as a whole, even for physical products, is off the scale, is off the hook. So this is normally what we think of in the modern world, where we've had the luxury of amazing supply chains for so long, since the Second World War, more or less, that in the West, anyway, in Europe and in USA and increasingly in China in the last 20 years. But anyway, we're just not used to the idea that supply side is the thing that holds it back. But there is massive, massive demand. And there's also massive demand and the ability to fulfill it virtually. Yep. So it strikes me that actually we've got to go almost physically where the consumers are. The consumers are now at home. They're not a Dodgers game buying, you know, lemonade or whatever they would have bought there and buying baseball caps, but they're at home without the Dodgers game to watch. And maybe they'll buy, you know, I don't know what, some DVDs of the Dodgers games, or I don't know what it is, but, you know, books on how to practice baseball in the garden, you know, with your son. I have absolutely no idea. I know nothing about baseball. But yeah, what strikes me is that the market, there is a giant market for stuff out there. They are literally just moved at home. So there has to be some way to make this thing work, you know. So I guess that's what I'm prodding you for ideas, really.
Yeah, there's a couple things I want to touch on quickly. You know, number one is that you're right. Like, people are still spending money, even when consumers are pulling back because people are losing jobs and they may not have the money. People are still spending money. It's just on different things. As an example, last week, as the crisis sort of first hit America, we had four physical brands reach out to us and say, we need help with advertising. We need a new agency. One is in the beauty market. Okay. Talk about something that is in demand, but also, you know, is makeup and facial cleansers really what people are thinking about when they're working from home? And we're seeing sales right now. Another example is a supplement. We're seeing sales come in. So people are spending their money. It's going to be spent differently, and you have to adapt. The other thing I was going to say is, as a result of your example with the Dodgers and people working from home and not buying, you know, Dodgers hats and people needing to move where the money is, look at General Motors, you know, a major, major auto manufacturer in the United States that delivers to the world. They've shut down their assembly lines on cars. What have they offered to produce? Ventilators. What, you know, Anheuser-Busch, a beer company out of the U.S. Beer is used loosely, right? Let's have some fun there. So, you know, in times of national disasters here in the U.S., they shut down production of beer and can water and send it out to disaster sites. These are large businesses, and some people might be saying, "Well, they can quote unquote pivot. They can do that." No, these companies are going to need bailouts. They're going to need help. But they're going where the market is. They're going where there's opportunity. And again, that's why it's so important right now more than ever to look at your business and figure out, what do I need to do to be here in a month, 2 months, 6 months, when the next problem does come up? Because there are always problems and challenges that arise. And I do have one other thing I want to share when it comes to this, but I also want to allow you to jump in and respond and ask any questions you may have, Michael.
Yeah, no, I'd like the examples. I mean, you know, some of it isn't a commercial opportunity so much as a humanitarian need. You know, General Motors producing ventilators, but it's the obvious thing. And lots of businesses in Britain are being asked to switch over to making ventilators. Now, how good they are at making ventilators, I don't know. But the need is extremely pressing. And if we're to believe the New York governor, is that Andrew Cuomo, that New York State governor is saying that they have an astronomic need for ventilators. So there's certainly a demand there. So no, I really like it. And so tell me a bit more about your other idea that you had coming up, because that sounds really tempting.
Yeah, so I think this is really important for all Amazon FBA sellers to really be dialed in on when it comes to why I'm talking about pivoting, why I'm talking about diversifying, even when people might be thinking, oh, I need strategies right now to help me. I promise you these strategies will help. We had an Amazon brand, a seven-figure Amazon brand come to us 8 months ago and knew then that they needed to diversify. They wanted to do some direct-to-consumer because they know that relying on Amazon, you know, one is the loneliest number. They're relying on Amazon, a system that they don't have control over to run their business. And they came to me with their numbers, with their margins. And what I found dramatically and very, you know, very frighteningly, and we see this in a lot of businesses. I promise I'm going to get to something really important here. These guys without Amazon don't have a business. What do I mean by that? They were getting sales from free traffic. So when you take out Amazon's cut, yes, they were profitable, but when you try to add in advertising costs to their product, the margins weren't there. So you have to think, we do this with everybody, right? I always evaluate, are you a real business or do you have a good product and offer with a shelf life that if and when something happens, you're going to be wiped out because you just don't have the numbers. So these guys didn't have the numbers to diversify, to get off of Amazon, to acquire their own customers. They were selling one product with very, very tight margins when you factored in advertising costs and growing and scaling and their own shipment and fulfillment. We take for granted all of the things that Amazon does do for us as FBA sellers. And some of us hate them for it, right? Oh, they're taking too much. But when you think about it, they're taking a fair and reasonable cut.
I was going to say one of the dangers of Amazon is it's too good. And that sounds like a ridiculous thing to throw at them. But when FBA fulfillment is so incredible and suddenly you can't have it, you realize that your business doesn't work without it. And it's the same with the cheap traffic from Amazon. So I guess in a sense, you could throw the opposite accusation at Amazon. The traffic's too cheap and the fulfillment's too quick and too cheap. And the trouble with that is it spoils you for everything else. And suddenly you've got a reality call. And I guess what you're implying, if I read between the lines, is that that was always part of the business model anyway. And now people are just waking up to it, right?
Yeah. So the I mean, we could probably spend a half hour just talking about this one case study, but the important takeaway right now is to look at your business and go, if I were to, and a lot of you might be doing that right now because FBA is impacted dramatically by the current life situation. Look at your numbers and go, what do I actually have here? What do I need to do to diversify, to ensure that I have a business? If you're only selling one product on Amazon and you want to diversify, you're going to possibly be in trouble unless it's a high ticket item, with high profit margins. What other products can you offer your existing customers? These are the things you need to be thinking about right now. And again, I get that it can be so tough when you're trying to maintain what you have right now and react to what's going on.
Yeah, but it makes sense. And one of the first things you said is, I think, a really important point that in a way has come and gone as a fashion in internet marketing for two decades, really, which is affiliate marketing. I mean, yes, you can sell some rubbish to people that you shouldn't be selling if you want, or you can go and find trustworthy people and try their products out. And then if you haven't got the time or the effort to develop products, because that takes time, then you can do that. I mean, you and I are talking, I don't run an Amazon a paid traffic agency, nor am I going to be able to recreate one that's as good as yours overnight. So I'm having a conversation with you and people feel free to use your agency should they wish. But the point of that is that there is a need out there for that thing. It's not something I personally do. So it's actually a pretty simple and elegant business model, I believe, an expansion that can be, in my experience, quite profitable and also leave you feeling good about it as long as you are selective in who you recommend. So that's the obvious thing, right? Yeah. So what are the action steps would you say to somebody that wants to add an affiliate offer to, say, an Amazon basic type business?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing you really need to do is figure out, you know, how am I going to get customers, right? The challenge, the number one challenge is you don't have that communication with your existing customers through FBA. So how are we going to go out and get new customers? That's one thing. Is that through paid traffic? Is that through developing relationships and seeing who is in your network to say, you know, can you introduce me to anybody who does this? Can you introduce me to anyone that does that? This is really one of those trying moments where you have to figure out what are you made of. And I'm saying this because I wish it were easy, Michael. I wish it was a matter of, you know, just flip a switch and you're going to pick up your revenue streams immediately. It just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. So you really have to figure out what's it going to take to get this done. How do I get plugged in to the right networks, the right relationships, the right people? So I would start out with, who do you know? Who do you know? What are they doing? What can you learn? What can you model? Again, for me, if this is sort of a, what should I do right now? What would I do right now? I would look at, how do I set up a contest and start building a list on Facebook? Obviously, if you've never run Facebook ads, there's going to be a learning curve, but there is a lot of information out there on how to run Facebook ads the right way that you can get for free.
Great. Well, we'll be talking in our next episode about the specifics of that. So I'm looking forward to digging into that. And I think, yeah, contest and start learning Facebook ads. I like the way you put it as well, that, you know, you can start with $1 a day. That suddenly takes away a lot of the idea that you have to be spending hundreds of thousands, because obviously sometimes the people you hear about doing this stuff are literally spending hundreds of thousands, and that makes it feel like it's either or, instead of a little test and then, you know, learn as you go. Final question then about digital products. I'm going to say final. I mean, this is a huge area, but I just want to get some broader thoughts, just if nothing else, to stimulate people into, I could do this kind of thinking. Digital goods. I know that you yourself had some digital products on top of a physical products business a while ago. Can you talk us through that as an example to people of what could be done?
Yeah. So we had at the time an essential oil accessory product company. So we saw a big boom in essential oils. I happen to be using them as well in my practice. This was, again, my previous former life when I was doing psychology work. There was this huge boom. And obviously, one way to support that boom, you know, FBA was starting to really pick up and take notice. E-commerce was picking up. So I got together with two friends and we started a business idea. Or, you know, we had this idea for a business, and it was going to be to sell accessories. So given our backgrounds in digital marketing, direct response marketing, we said, all right, how are we going to sort of bootstrap this business without having a lot of money? So we borrowed, I think, $1,000 from one of their companies and started a contest. One of the main products, and I promise this ties into digital products, one of the main products that every essential oil user will want is a diffuser. There are diffusers that cost $10 or diffusers that cost several hundreds of dollars. So we went with a sort of middle of the road. We found a $50, $60 product. We set up an ad, enter for your chance to win this diffuser. We knew it was a physical product that we eventually wanted to sell. So thinking ahead, anybody that opts in to win one of these is going to want one. Chances are good that anybody that opts in to win one, AKA enters for a chance to win one, it means they're interested in essential oils. So key takeaway here, don't give away an iPad. Everybody wants an iPad. If you're selling pillows, give away a pillow. If you're selling pillows, think about pillows and pillowcases, things like that. So that helped us acquire essential oil users on an email list. We then started looking, all right, how can we monetize this list? And in fact, one of the first things we did to test the viability of our strategy was on the thank you page after they entered to win, we had a, hey, thanks for entering for your chance to win. We'll be drawing the winner on such and such a date. If you're interested right now, you can use this coupon to go buy this exact thing for 20% off on Amazon. So we made some affiliate sales there. We were an Amazon affiliate. Did we get rich? No. Did we make a lot of money back? No, but we got proof of concept. Mind you, this proof of concept turned into $0 in sales to $100,000 a month business off of Amazon eventually. Well, how did we get there? We looked for an opportunity in the marketplace. Essential oils, they're used for ailments and health and all sorts of things. And I'm not going to get into the FDA regulations of whether you can or you can't. The bottom line is there were people teaching the wrong way aka dangerous ways to use essential oils. So what did we do? We put together a 60-minute webinar, an online virtual training of common mistakes people were making with their essential oils. And at the end, we sold a $47 digital product. I think it was a 6-module training course. It came with digital bonuses that included, here are, 25 home remedies for you can create with essential oils. So how can you create your own linen spray? How can you create your own disinfectant for the counter, things like that. How can you create different blends of smells for your diffuser? So there's a lot of things you can take and learn from that in terms of how do you take a free item and turn that into a business. There's a lot of work to it. It wasn't easy. It took time, but I'm not just spewing stuff I think will work. We've done this.
Now this is fantastic because this is the sort of thing that I imagine would work, but it's great to see the actual proof of concept. And actually it does make sense to me. I've always had this instinct that my background now, I guess I've done a lot of the info product type marketing through the podcast, and then I work with a lot of e-commerce sellers, but I've never really kind of prodded people to make the transition until now because it probably would have felt like a distraction. But suddenly when you cannot physically fulfill anything via FBA that's physical products, and even 3PL, your own fulfillment could be more challenging. It suddenly starts to go from a nice to have to the only option left in town, and it's good to have a path. So that's fantastic to hear that you did it. And it does make logical sense, but there's a difference between that and you actually achieved it. So I think, to be honest, I'm going to leave this episode at that point because I'd love to dive a bit more into in the next episode into the mechanics of how to drive the traffic and how to set up a contest. That's obviously your meat and potatoes for you. Yeah. Any final thoughts that we should say to anyone who is thinking of going this path of trying to diversify, maybe selling other people's products, maybe trying to sell digital products, getting their own marketing out there for the first time?
Yeah. I think that the best way to leave everyone is it's a lot easier for me to tell you to go do this stuff than actually going out and doing that. And I know that. I want to recognize that right now. I'm not suggesting that you can wave a magic wand and have this working. What I do hope is that the conversation we've had, the things that we've discussed, provides hope and light and opportunity for what you can go out and do. And I would encourage people, take some time to take a step back and look at where things are right now and where you want to go, and identify a plan that you can put into action either by yourself, with a coach, with a mentor, with a colleague, somebody. You can go out there and do this, and I know it's going to be hard, and I wish we were having this conversation 2 months ago about get ready for when things go bad. But we're having it now. So again, like I want to be real here, Michael, and just tell people, I know this can feel so overwhelming, so insurmountable, but I promise you it's important to take these steps now more than ever. In some capacity, $1 a day, $5 a day, whatever you can do to go out there and change and diversify your business so that it can withstand this.
Thank you, Roy. Yeah, that's good words on which to end it. As you say, it's easier to say it than to do it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it and shouldn't believe in it. And I also like, again, the idea of connection in the end comes up for me again and again, which is why I run the mastermind, I guess, that we're going to be meeting online rather than physically for obvious reasons. But again, it's a great place, whether it's a coach or a mastermind or some kind of community, a place to bounce your ideas off people. So am I going crazy? Could this work? And then other people can go, yeah, you know what? That could not only work, I could see a version of that in my business. And that's when you start to really build some belief and get stuff done, I think, in my experience. So yeah, well said.
Great.
Roy, thank you so much for coming on. And
my pleasure.
Look forward to talking about how to actually, get the mechanics of these contests done.
Absolutely.
If you would like to explore joining one of the masterminds in the Amazing FBA sort of catalogue of masterminds, from the £1 million mastermind for those doing £100,000 a month on Amazon or more, the 10K Collective for those doing about £30,000 a month or more, or the six-figure mastermind, which is recently constituted and just about have its first meetings, then you can either check those places out at the Amazing FBA site. Just go there and look for paid programs, or indeed email me if you are stuck and wanting to consider joining us. We will be only meeting online for a while for obvious reasons. We won't be able to meet as usual in London, but I do think that you could find that a great haven in a time of crisis to connect with other people going through similar things to you and using their wits and entrepreneurial imagination and savvy to get themselves back on track. Thanks for listening.